Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the time that we could be here this morning. Lord, we ask that as we turn to your word, that you would give us understanding and Lord, just open our hearts to receive that word. Lord, there are many things that occupy our minds that sometimes take over. And Lord, we pray that you would just hold some of those at bay this morning so that we can sit here and listen to your word and Lord, get that understanding that we need and Lord, the encouragement from you and the people around us that we need to live our lives in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been going through this series, what I titled Doctrine Matters, I hope it hasn't been too boring and that we understand that doctrine matters. There is a reason why we believe the things that we believe. There's a reason why we understand things that are in Scripture certain ways. Because, I mean, I've mentioned it before. You have church bodies sometimes that just pop up in different places. And while all of these can be certainly good, we never want to fall into the trap of saying, well, we just believe what the Bible says in the sense that, well, we believe what it says because this is the way we interpret it and what we interpret it to mean based on what we want it to say. And so there are doctrines that the Bible teaches that have been handed down from generation to generation that we cannot just simply push aside. I think I've said it before that if you ever come up with an understanding of Scripture or you hear someone that comes up with this totally new understanding of a Scripture passage that you've never, ever, ever heard before, you might want to check into that just a little bit. Now, I know that I've done that on a time or two, like with the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. That's simply not, I mean, that's not a new understanding, though. That's something that people have been talking about for years. But if you think you've come up with a new revelation on what Scripture means, you might want to study it a little bit just to make sure. Now, that's not to say, I know when we read Scripture, even me personally on my own, we say that the Scripture it's a living Word of God, right? And so there's times when we can read Scripture ourselves and say in the sense, you know, that really touched me in a certain way here, and it can certainly do that, but yet we cannot just twist God's Word into saying what we want it to say for a specific situation or instance. And so that's why doctrine matters. And we've looked at a couple of, or several of those so far in pairs of two words. I want to go back 2 weeks. Does anybody remember 2 weeks ago the two words that we looked at? That was last week, saint and sinner. The week before was law and gospel. And we said that the law shows us our sin, and the gospel shows us our Savior. And then we looked at three uses of the law. Does anybody, I'm going to just keep bringing these up so we can practice on these. The curb, the mirror, and the guide. Good. Wow, y'all are doing great. Now today we're going to look at two words, the invisible and the visible church. The words are kind of self-explanatory. The visible church is going to be the church that we can see. The invisible church is going to be the church that we cannot. Y'all catch on pretty quick. So that's it. Amen. No, just kidding. We're going to go a little bit deeper than that. But the whole idea sometimes of the visible and invisible church can give us a little bit of a problem too in understanding what exactly are each of these and how do they play out in our lives. And so we want to take a look at those. But first, I thought looking at our Romans passage for this morning, while the Romans passage doesn't lay out exactly what each of these are, I think it really points us to what the invisible church is. And so Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, it kind of ties in with some of the stuff that we've already talked about. But 12 and 13 says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so really this is taking us back to a couple of weeks ago. Law and gospel, what is the function of the law? What is the function of the gospel? Because if we live according to our own sinful desires, we're really pushing the gospel aside. We're not wanting to hear the good news of Jesus because all we care about is who? Me. And so, but then if we live by the Spirit, we are going to be living for God. And then in that sense, if we're living for God and we have been forgiven, goes back to last week, we are a saint. A sinner, yes, because we still sin, but also a saint at the same time. So that was the question I forgot to ask you. If someone asks you, are you a saint or a sinner, what is your reply?
Yes.
Good job. So yes, we are. We're both a saint and a sinner. And this, the first two verses here really point that out, because if we live by the flesh, that's sinful. That's selfish. If we live by the Spirit, then we're living the way God wants us to live, which makes us the saint, but yet at the same time, a sinner as well, but a sinner forgiven by Christ himself. Then verse 14 and following really, I think, hones in on what we're going to talk about this morning. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What do you think is kind of some key phrases here in this passage that's mentioned several times? We are sons of God. We are children of God. We are heirs of God. If we're heirs of God, what does that mean? You know, children usually get inheritance, right? From their family. Ours may inherit some debt, but you know, other than that, that's all right. But our children, you know, usually you have some inheritance that your children get. And so as children of God, we are heirs. To what? To what God has given us. And that's the forgiveness in life that we have through his son, Jesus. That's what we have. We have it now, and we have it to the fullest later. So we are heirs of God. We are children of God. And so if we think about what that means for us, if we are children and heirs of God, we are part of the church. What church? I'm going to talk about the invisible church and the visible church. Now, I think it's pretty, like I said, pretty obvious. What's the visible church? This church right here. Just this church? No. All churches, right? We have to include St. John Lutheran Church. If we talked about the church in Hamilton, we would have to say there's St. John Lutheran Church, there's Calvary Baptist, there's First Baptist, there's the First Methodist, there's the Episcopal Church, there's the Presbyterian Church, there's Living Waters, there's Faith Outreach Church, there's, how many are there? There's the Barn Church, there's Church of Christ, the Outreach Church of Christ, the Parker Heights, the Catholic Church. Yeah, so we have numerous churches. So when we say church, a lot of those things may come to our mind. Just a church building. We might get the picture of a church, physical church building in mind. We might even get the picture of everybody just sitting right here this morning, right? And so when we say the church in the visible sense, it's going to be the church that we can see. It's the building, it's the people, you know, the little steeple thing. It's the people that we can see. And so that makes up the visible church. So the visible church then is going to be not just Hamilton's churches, but every church. And I guess we have to specify this if we're talking about the Christian church, every Christian church in the world. Anybody that claims to be a Christian church in the world, that is the visible church. When we move to the invisible church, that's the church we can't really physically see, right? And so then the invisible church is made up of every believer in Jesus Christ. So that can be us here. That can certainly be the people at Calvary, First Baptist, Church of Christ, Methodist. But it also includes, and I've said this before, it includes even those Christians who have already gone before us. The invisible church is every single person who has ever believed, believes, or will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I have a couple of questions for you where it gets a little trickier. Can there be somebody that's a member of the invisible church that's not a member of the visible church on earth? Yes or no? What do you think? If we have to be honest, we have to say yes. I might say it's very unlikely, but we do have to say yes. And why I say it's very unlikely, because if you have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ to be a part of a physical, visible church, or the invisible church, you are more than likely going to do what? Be a member of a visible church. You are going to want to strengthen that relationship. Some of the stuff I talked about with the kids, you're going to want to be around people where you can get encouragement for the week. You're going to want to be around people that can walk you through some of the situations in life that you deal with. You are going to want to have a Christian family around you when you lose a loved one. That's just what you're going to want if you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ. But it can happen that there are members of the invisible church that are not members of a visible church. Now the question, which poses us even maybe a harder thing to deal with. Can there be some members in a visible church that are not members in the invisible church? What do you think? Yes. Because here's the deal. Some people go to church for different reasons. Some people go to church because they want to strengthen their relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to be encouraged by God's word. They want to be encouraged by their brothers and sisters in Christ. And they want to be an encouragement for them, for each other. That's all of you here this morning, right? That's what we want. But there are some people that go to church for other reasons. And they can be various reasons. Some of it just simply may be, I like to socialize. And there's nothing else going on Sunday morning except for church. So that's where I'm going to go socialize. That's my church club. You know, like the country club or the group you play cards with. It's just a place to go and be around people. Some people may go to church because it looks good, because they are a community leader or they are in business and they are looking for more clients. That may be some people's attitude. That's the only reason they go. They really don't care about deepening their relationship with Jesus. And so there can be people who are members of a visible church that are not members of the invisible church. Now, I don't want you to look around and try to figure out who those people are. Because we first have to do what? Look at ourselves. After you looked at yourself, I don't want you to look around. Because whose job is that? It's God's. You see, God is the only one that knows who the true member of the invisible church is. That's not our job. And that ought to be a big relief to us. We don't have to worry about that. Now, do we want to tell others about Jesus Christ? And do we want them to be a part of the invisible church and the visible church here? Certainly. But it's not our job to worry about whether they truly are members of the invisible church. All we know and need to know is that we are. And that we ourselves are doing what we can to strengthen our relationship with Jesus Christ. Being in God's Word, being here on Sunday morning, encouraging each other, being there for each other, walking through the trials and struggles with people through life. That we know that we're doing what we need to do, and that we know that being a member of the invisible church is simply believing in Jesus. Knowing that He's died on the cross to bring forgiveness to us, and knowing that we have the promise of life. Here in just a moment, when we take the Lord's Supper, I've said this before, it's really an incredible moment if you really stop and think about it. I've talked about a vertical relationship. When we come to the Lord's table, we are in fellowship. We are communing with Jesus Christ Himself, our Savior, through His body and blood given and shed for us. We are communing. We are having fellowship with all of the saints, the invisible church that has gone before us, vertically. Horizontally, we are in communion and having fellowship with every single person that's here this morning. And in this fellowship with this invisible church, we are receiving God's forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. How incredible is that? To know that we're joined together with, as some of the communion liturgy states, with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, those who have gone before us, we are in communion with the invisible church. That just makes you want to go, that's awesome. That's awesome to be able to experience God's love for us in that way. It is a blessing to be a part of a visible church, but a greater blessing to be a part of the invisible church. Let's pray. Lord, I know that sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around some of the words that You have for us, but Lord, we do pray this morning that we understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are, and members of St. John, that we are part of the visible church here on earth, but more importantly, we are part of the invisible church that we cannot see with our eyes, and that we are connected with You and every saint, living and departed. Lord, we ask a special blessing on this church body and Lord, on ourselves too, as we continue to live our lives in this world, that we can just be a blessing to each other and be an encouragement as we continue to live our lives in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.